CityTalk 105.9 official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. CityTalk 105.9.
Good morning and welcome to City Talk's business with me, Frank McKenna. I'm the chairman of the independent private sector lobby group and business networking club Downtown Liverpool in Business, and every week I take a look at some of the big business stories that affect our great city and the wider northwest region. This week we'll be looking at the Euro bailout, the Heseltine-Leahy plan for the Liverpool City region, and two major forthcoming conferences. To discuss these issues and more, I'm sure, I'm joined in the studio today by PR man Ben O'Brien of Kenyon Fraser, Elaine Bowker, the principal of Liverpool Community College, business mentor John Haynes, and the chief executive of Arena Housing Association, Brian Cronin. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, Frank.
Brian, if I may come to you first, Arena Housing Association, if you could just tell the listeners a little bit about what that does, what it is, and what your role within the organisation.
Thanks, Frank. Arena Housing Association is a 15,000 unit association based in the northwest of England. Big concentration of properties in Liverpool, Warrington, Wigan, Cheshire. One of our main specialities, extra care, older person's housing. We're currently building a big new scheme right in the centre of Ormskirk.
Not far from where I live, actually.
Yes, it's just about to open, and that's going really well.
I'll be in there shortly. It's for older people, did you say?
Or you've got to be at least 55 to get
in. Oh, we'll be long then.
You're only 27, you'll be fine. So, and we are also a big provider of supported housing for people with physical and mental disabilities. So quite a broad church of activities.
And just in terms of housing associations, what is the climate like at the moment for you guys? Because obviously you're a social enterprise rather than pure public sector.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I guess there is an issue around the public sector cuts that we're going through at the moment for people like yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very mixed picture. I think one of the things that a lot of people don't really understand about associations is that we are quite large businesses. We employ an awful lot of people. I mean, Arena employs over 1,000 people. We provide services to nearly 40,000 people. And it is a really mixed picture. On the one hand, from a demand point of view, our waiting lists, demand for our products, our homes and the services that we provide has never been higher. Waiting lists are now currently larger than they were after the Second World War. So that's the level of demand that we've got to cope with. But coming back the other way is the grants that we receive to develop and build new accommodation have drastically been cut. And we're being asked by the current government to deliver more for less, like everyone else. But in that instance, we used to receive about £50,000 grant per new unit we developed. Where now it's gone down to about £15,000-16,000 a unit. So that's the type of pressure that we're being put under to actually increase our supply. But where we're increasingly becoming concerned is around the cuts that are being made in local government. Local government is our main partner. We work very closely with all our local authorities. And where it is hurting us at the moment, it is in the provision of services to the very vulnerable. So a lot of the grants that are given on top of rents and housing benefit, those types of things, are being cut quite considerably, and that's what's given us most concern. So the difficulty that we've got is that we've got massive amounts of demand. It's about how we meet that demand, but how do we maintain services in a difficult economic climate?
And I suppose it's tough, isn't it, in terms of the existing budgetary pressures on the government. You know, there are cases that are being made at the moment for more spend on infrastructure and capital schemes, but that doesn't quite help your conundrum, does it? Because it's no good building the houses if you then can't provide the services that go with that overall package that you actually offer.
Yeah, and we're tackling that in a specific way, which I think is a time-limited way. So for Arena, we've got 100% of the allocation that we bid in for on the Affordable Homes Programme. So we're going to be building over the next 3 years 650 new homes. We're doing that on a vastly reduced grant rate, but we're doing that because we're digging into our reserves. You know, we recognise the country's got an issue, but we also recognise there's a need that we need to meet. And whilst we're a business, we're a social business, so we were prepared to do that. But what we're not really building is homes or schemes which require a lot of input in terms of additional support. So most of the homes that we will build over that period will be the traditional three-bedroom semi, two-bedroom flats for you know, what we call general needs accommodation. What we are finding increasingly difficult to provide is any type of scheme which needed some support in terms of care or in terms of additional services that we need to help in terms of vulnerable client groups. So we've got quite a large portfolio of those schemes, but we have no plans to build any more of those in the foreseeable future.
Now, I know that you've got a housing conference coming up in Liverpool in November.
We have, yeah.
Which I guess is going to be addressing some of these issues. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's at the conference centre on the 11th of November. Just sort of get a plug in there. Well, I mean, what we're trying to do as well, I mean, it's got a dual purpose. I mean, there's a lot of issues out there at the moment that I think the sector needs to address. And it's opportune time for that to happen. But the other thing that we're trying to do as well is, in terms of Liverpool as a city, it's trying to start to recognise some of the expertise that sits in and around the city. And you can see by where people are coming from, we're getting people right the way across the north of England. You know, there are a lot of conferences, there's a lot of output being put into London and some in Birmingham, but actually I think there's a place for this type of conference to be in our own city, because there is an awful lot of housing expertise that resides here. And it is a joint effort between ourselves and Brabner Chase Street, who are a specialist housing lawyer, amongst other things, and also Mitchell Charlesworth, local-based firm of accountants. And what we're really trying to do is bring together some really top practitioners to really start to work through some of these current issues with people in the field and try and develop some strategies about how we can manage our way through the current economic climate, but also a lot of the regulatory changes that are coming about, to try and make sure that we can maintain, if not improve, services for our residents.
And I suppose the conference will, hopefully at least, identify problems, but also start to talk about what some of the solutions to those problems will be.
Well, we will do, because, I mean, the people that we've got coming, I mean, in terms of the speakers, we've got a really good lineup of people who are experts in the field. Most of them are coming from the locality. So most of our speakers are coming from the Merseyside, Warrington, Manchester areas. But a lot of the people who are coming to attend the conference, in the workshops in particular, what they're going to be asked to do is start to try and evolve some solutions that we can apply, particularly in the north of the country, where we have a particular problem. We're not the south. We can't charge enormous rent levels to pay for this drop in grant. We've got issues about affordability already, and what we need to be able to do is to develop a northern solution to these issues which fits in with our economy and with our clients.
I think it'll be a great conference and yet another fantastic event for our city. And on the 14th of November, downtown Liverpool, in association with Liverpool Vision and City Tour, are organising a conference called It's Liverpool, the Business Conference. And one of our key partners and sponsors for that event is Liverpool Community College. And I'm delighted to have the principal. I think you are the principal, Elaine, is that right?
Yes, since the 1st of June.
So, fairly new post here. So, how are you settling in?
Oh, I'm really enjoying it. Worked in the city before. Really love this city. And Liverpool Community College is a great college and at the heart of this city, trying to ensure that we help the growth, economic growth in the city, and also help people become more socially mobile. And that's really what we do as a college, both of those things.
And I was, you know, Brian was talking about the pressures that the housing associations are under because of the budgetary reductions that are taking place at the moment. Higher education, further education, I've seen a report last week suggesting that university numbers are going to significantly fall over the next 12 months to 2 years. How is that going to impact on places like Liverpool Community College?
It very much depends. We're seeing now, we've seen a very big increase in our student numbers this September. We've seen a big increase in terms of applications for higher education to the college. At the same time, however, we're seeing a shift away from A-level programmes towards vocational, and that brings opportunities and challenges, because if we're going to do justice, we're a college that really cares about outcomes. So why are you doing those courses, whether it be an apprenticeship, whatever it is? And if we're seeing a shift away from students wanting to go into higher education, then we need to ensure that we've got really good job opportunities at the end of vocational programmes.
Mm.
And we're working closely with the universities as well to ensure that we've got good opportunities so that students can move from us. And actually, we're one of the biggest providers of students to the three universities in the city.
Mm.
So I think it's a good opportunity. There are some challenges within it, though.
I guess, you know, what I've said in the past about this whole debate around universities is that the big criticism I would make about the last administration is that it was almost as if everybody needed to go to university to actually be recognised as doing something useful with their life. And actually, you know, there's an awful lot of people, me included, that didn't go to university and have done okay for themselves. So although I can understand and appreciate some of the debates going on about the levels of student fees that are being charged, I'm not convinced that actually we're going to see such a negative impact on young people if we can offer an alternative. And it is about those vocational skills, apprenticeships. It is about encouraging people actually to start their own business. And it seems to me from the things I'm reading and seeing about Liverpool Community College that that is a gap where you guys are saying we might actually be able to get in there and fill it.
Absolutely. And, you know, university's got its place and we have many students who want to progress to university. But there's many students who also want to progress through vocational options, setting up their own self-employment. And that's about entrepreneurizing, an entrepreneurial spirit. And how can we encourage enterprise within the college? And that's something we're really, really serious around wanting to do. Higher level skills, I think, is really important. And sometimes that is it's overlooked. And we're very keen that our apprenticeship programmes, you can start from 14 and work your way up to becoming a higher level apprentice. And that's something that employers are really looking at now. And if you link that back to the transformational sectors and the growth sectors in the city and the city region, actually it's higher level skills that are going to be really important. And that's why we're keen to ensure that as a college, we're equipped and skilled to be able to deliver in those four key growth areas.
Mm. And clearly one of the reasons why you're sponsoring the conference, which I'll give details of in a second, is you're looking to really engage with the private sector.
Absolutely. And certainly, you know, since I've taken my post up at college, worked really hard to ensure that our plan, which we're looking at, is actually based on what employers want and what employers need. At the end of the day, our students come to us to ensure they get a job at the end of it, whether that's a job directly after they've studied with us or whether it's a job because they go on to do some higher level skills or they go on to higher education. It's the job that's important. And whenever I speak to employers, it's not necessarily skill sets they're concerned around, it's mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And the mindset's really important. And therefore, we're working very, very closely with employers to understand what are their needs, what do they want, what can we do, and are we delivering the right programmes, the right apprenticeships, the right programmes that are going to meet their needs. And I have to say, I've had a fantastic response from the private sector.
Well, you will do. And I have to tell you that that will be music to an awful lot of people who are listening to this programme today who own their own businesses, because one of the biggest criticisms that have been made from the private sector over the last 15, 20 years is that there is a mismatch in terms of what we're teaching our kids and what the job opportunities for them are out there. So, you know, all power to your elbow. And I'm not surprised that you're getting a great response. Just to give you details of that conference, which takes place on Monday the 14th of November, the start of Global Enterprise Week, or UK Enterprise Week actually. It's at the Crown Plaza Hotel. As I say, it's being organised by Downtown Liverpool in association with Liverpool Vision and City Tour 105.9 FM. Google are coming along to do a presentation on how you can maximise your IT and actually get some real business from your online presence. And we have a whole host of fantastic speakers. Steve Morgan, the owner of Wolves Football Club, chairman of Redrow. Tony Caldera, a local Liverpool entrepreneur, the Cushion King. Gavin Wheeldon, owner of Applied Language Solutions, a star of a recent Secret Millionaire programme on Channel 4. Natalie Haywood, the owner of Leaf and Young Entrepreneur of the Year for the Morgan Foundation in 2010. Toby Young, who is the author of How to Lose Friends and Alienate People, a journalist, political and business commentator for The Times. Paul Levy, who's the chief executive of the City of Philadelphia Business Improvement District, and our very own Councillor Joe Anderson, leader of Liverpool City Council, Sir Howard Bernstein, who's the chief executive of Manchester City Council, and the Shadow Treasury Secretary, Rachel Reeves, MP. It's going to be an absolutely fantastic event, a fantastic day, lots to talk about, lots of opportunity for you to have your say as well. If you want details, visit our website, all the W's, downtownliverpool.com. That's it for the first part of the programme. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this break.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back to the programme. I'm joined in the studio today by PR man Ben O'Brien of Kenyon Fraser, Elaine Bowker, the principal of Liverpool Community College, business mentor John Haynes, and before the break, chief executive of Arena Housing Association, Brian Cronin, joined us. Unfortunately, Brian's had to leave us. But Ben and John, we haven't heard from you yet. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, young Frank.
And I want us to talk about, in this part of the programme, we're hearing about two fantastic events earlier that are coming up in the city, but a very interesting report that was produced by Lord Michael Heseltine and Sir Terry Leahy. Hezza, I think it's fair to say, an adopted Scouser. Terry Leahy, famously, of course, chief executive of Tesco for many, many years. Again, a good Liverpudlian in terms of his origins, although a great Evertonian. He supports the right team, does that lad. And John, you will have been interested to read, I'm sure, the comments that were made in that report about a whole range of things, but mostly what they were talking about, it seemed to me, was actually maximising the opportunities that we have from our existing asset resource, and similarly actually making the existing structures that exist here more coordinated, because there is an awful lot of mismatch and it seems to me duplication of services around some of the agencies that represent us at the moment.
Frank, I agree. The report was absolutely fascinating. We've always got to respect what Heseltine says and Terry Leahy, because what they've done for this city, and I was around in the 80s with Heseltine, but that report, it shows that we can maximise the structures. We can sit back and think. And I just believe with this report now, it gives us a little bit more of hope. And I just believe the opportunities that we can maximise the structure is quite overwhelming. So I was really impressed with the report, Frank.
What did you think about the suggestion that they made about mergers? I mean, they talked about merging the Mersey Partnership and Liverpool Vision, which is something downtown Liverpool has been advocating for many years now. But the other thing that they said was that there ought to be a merger of the Chambers of Commerce from across Merseyside as well, so bringing Liverpool together with Knowsley, Sefton, the Wirral, and so on and so forth. Do you think that would work?
It's got to work, Frank. No ifs and buts about it. You and I have been talking about the merger of Mersey Partnership and Liverpool Vision for the last 2 years, and I think it just should be a command decision. We shouldn't be talking about this anymore. But the merger of the chambers, I think because of change now, we can't have isolated chambers anymore. We are in, I would say, a really dangerous time, and it's a time where we've got to make clear, precise decisions, where people have got to come together as a team. None of this old egos and status, and this is the way we've always done it. And I think that's what's gone on with Mersey Partnership and the Vision. They've just had too many egos, and what's in it for me to come out of it. And it's taken us all these years, but that will come across. But the chambers, they've got to wake up and realise that we are changing, and we entrepreneurs want better services from them. But so I believe they do merge and they get better quality services and learn from the past mistakes. It's another plus for us all.
I think where they were coming from as far as Chambers of Commerce are concerned is that actually if you look at places like Greater Manchester, where there is a single entity, they've started to focus and concentrate more and more on international trade and you know, actually ensuring that there is engagement, service support for their members who are looking to export and import. And you know, I think our Chamber of Commerce here in Liverpool has done a reasonable job as far as that's concerned, but equally in terms of volume they'd probably be able to do a much better job if there was a bit more joined up thinking across the city region. Ben, as somebody who works in the PR game, would you be advising the Chambers of Merseyside to come together, or do you actually think that they're better off ploughing their own field?
I think it's about getting the balance right between those things, and the all these organisations have done some fantastic things over recent years, and you know, long may that positive impact continue. But you know, things don't stand still. We need to look at the right balance of making the best of the city region, and where we need to do things on a more local level as well. So I'm sure there's room for organisations to come together where it makes sense for the task in hand, to think together on vision and to deliver that kind of scale whilst also delivering the important things for those existing communities and for the diversity within the region as well. So my experience, and you know, many years in the NHS before coming out into the private sector a couple of years back, is that it can be easy to throw the baby out with the bathwater sometimes, and it's a tricky lesson to learn. But I think we need to build on the best of what we've got generally in these kind of situations. So I think that there's a lot of interest there, but I wouldn't pin my colours to either side in a wholesale way at this stage. I think what's really interesting about the report, from our perspective, first of all, how digestible it is. So it really captures a lot of the forward thinking that already exists here and brings it together in one place, which is, it's really exciting to read. This morning, when I got hold of the full thing, you know, 50 pages, you know, very digestible, great, you know, plain language, quite refreshing for those of us who read a lot of reports in their line of work. So it's really good from that point of view. And there were three things that jumped out from our perspective. And the first one was really getting stuck into that relationship between the public and the private sectors when it comes to entrepreneurship and growth. And we know that over the years we've had that imbalance in this city. We've had, you know, a heavy public sector compared with private sector. We've done some fantastic things with that, but we do need to continue to look at that and address that balance. Now, we know the public sector has a huge contribution to make, not just in what it does, but also its role in the wider economy. And there's, you know, there's a lot of organisations and businesses to whom that public sector pound is very, very important, and a lot of innovation comes out of there. In terms of the creative industries, I think that's really key as well. And this idea of the, you know, the creative hub and supporting that, you know, very practical ideas like this idea of, you know, what Wi-Fi being available across the city to everybody, and that would make a big difference to me and a lot of other you know, people who do a lot of work on the move. You know, use a lot of mobile technology. So you know, big relationship there, and some really good stuff in that report. And the other thing that I think has come through, and you know, coming back to this idea of how we do tie things up for the city region, is the stuff around integrated transport. You know, really good to see that stuff, you know, put on the table in terms of not just the connections between the great northern cities and down to London, but also looking at integrated transport within there. And as you know, Frank, you know, we work with Mersey Travel on the marketing of transport and encouraging people to use public transport, recognising the importance of the contribution of that to the economy. So great report, really great to read it, and some great suggestions in there overall, we felt.
And as somebody who has, like me, spent a lot of time over the last 10 years, probably longer, in and around Manchester Elaine, do you get a little bit disappointed, surprised, concerned when, you know, people like Heseltine and Leahy come to Liverpool and say, we need more coordination, we need more joined up thinking? Because in Greater Manchester, that's just taken as read, isn't it?
It is. And I do think that the city region needs to think about how it can work better together for the benefit of all. And travel to work, business, it operates more at a city regional level. There is room for local. There's always going to be local accountability and local democracy. But you can have both. It's not either or. And I think that's the debate we've got to move away from, either or. I've seen it, you know, worked in Manchester and seen how it benefits the 10 local authorities from working together as a greater, stronger combined authority. So I do think that we need to have that debate about how we can make that work in a better way, because it's the way the job market works as well. It's the way that we're going to develop growth in this economy, and that's what we need to do. It's got to be at the centre of everything.
But again, if you look at the very positive things that came out of the report, Heseltine was saying Liverpool would be the obvious place for a green investment bank, which again would be a fabulous boost to the city region. He was also identifying that creativity and the talent that we have within the cultural industry sectors, and saying that we needed to build on the momentum of Capital of Culture. You've mentioned already, Ben, Wi-Fi. But Elaine, in terms of where you are, where your business is, these are now the sorts of areas where you've got to be identifying and seeing how you can assist our kids in actually taking those opportunities in the future.
Absolutely. And I really welcome the report. And there was no surprises in the report. Certainly I'd spoken to many of the team about where our weaknesses are, what we need to do. And I think it addresses how we are working together as partners in the city to address some of these issues. So very much welcome it. I think the reference to university technical colleges is really important, because that's how you bring the private sector to the centre of skills. And you're developing the skills that the private sector needs, both now and in the future. And certainly as a college, we're working with some really big organisations to look at environmental technology, which is clearly a big growth area for us in the city and the city region. I also like the idea of the fact that it talks very much around apprenticeships and the value of apprenticeships and pre-apprenticeships, because I think that's really important that we start at an earlier age and think about the pathways all the way up to higher level apprenticeships. So there's a lot in the report that I think I certainly acknowledge, and it's the only way forward, because skills will move us forward in terms of economic growth, and it'll also move us forward in terms of social mobility. Without it, and without linking to where the jobs are going to be, then we won't move forward. So I think there's loads of positives in there. I think we're already starting to work on some of those. So for example, I think the City Council's approach to the Community Interest Company, together with the Chamber, the Aldonian Group and ourselves, which is about driving at least 1,300 job opportunities and taking on apprenticeships from 16 to 19, is just one example. I could mention so many.
Yeah. And John, you know, to be very positive about this report, I think what it does further demonstrate is the willingness and the acceptance now that actually, if the city is going to continue to drive forward, then it has to be private public sector partnership. No longer can we rely on public sector subsidy, government or European grants to actually drive our economy. We've got to start to grow entrepreneurship and the private sector in a very serious way.
100% correct, Frank, and that's why I was pleased with the Heseltine report. He's identified this city has got raw talent. We are creative people. In short, we're entrepreneurs deep in our souls. And Frank, I've got to say this, over the last year, my company, the International Coaching Academy, our focus has been on developing entrepreneurs for this city and for the country. And these youngsters have come to our academy, but we're teaching them how to be entrepreneurs. And we've had a great input of public sector workers who've lost their job. And we're developing them and creating, I would say, entrepreneurial skills will last forever. So I believe this country has now got to go back to be entrepreneurs. Is that okay? The city has done well with, God bless them, the public sector. Now the entrepreneurs have got to come through. And I believe now, because of the creativity of the Merseysiders and this willingness to go forward and take a risk and run their own businesses, I think the future's looking good, Frank. I'm really quite excited. I've been overwhelmed over the last year. So many people have come through our academy and gone on to run and start their own businesses with a great deal of success. So the future's looking good to be an entrepreneur.
And I think, you know, again, with your media hat on, Ben, you know, one of the things that I would say drives me mad at times is all the negativity and, you know, this idea that we're all going to hell in a handcart. And as I say, there was so much optimism, wasn't there, within this report, that it didn't give you a sense that Liverpool was a place that was on the downward spiral. It actually gave you the opposite impression, that actually we had an awful lot going for us and there are opportunities there for us to grasp.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we've really matured, and I think at Kenyon Fraser, we've probably seen a lot of the same stuff that John's describing. Think back a few years when we started to realise there was a downturn coming, and you look at what happened with Leeds and Manchester over recent years, and we felt we were so far behind. And as the downturn came, and it came elsewhere, you looked around the city and you still saw the cranes up, and you still saw the development, and you still felt the optimism, and you saw the new city centre emerging, which wasn't uncontroversial itself at various stages. And you walk down the waterfront, you drive down there at night, down that dock road, and you feel like you're in a world-class city. Mm-hmm. You know, the way that the docks and the big wheel and everything, you know, the arena and everything is now connected and part of the city. It feels great. I've been here 21 years this year since I came here to college, and it's unbelievable, the transformation. Mm-hmm. But I think what I mean in terms of us maturing is that I think this very debate reflects that. We recognise the value of the public sector, we recognise the value of entrepreneurship, and we recognise in companies like ours that we need to not just provide the best service we can to benefit the public sector and what it does, but we also need to be part of generating wealth. And that's why the balance of our public sector business and our private sector business is really important, and the two inform each other. And there's a final comment. One, you know, we had years and years of being told in the public sector we need to learn from the private. Well, I think there's lots of the private can learn from the public as well, and that's a real opportunity.
And on that interesting note, we will take another short break. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined in the studio this week by Ben O'Brien of Kenyon Fraser, Elaine Bowker, the principal of Liverpool Community College, and business mentor from the International Academy, John Haynes. We were talking before the programme about Michael Hessel, before the break, sorry, about Michael Heseltine and Terry Leahy's blueprint for Liverpool. And Ben made a great point, I thought, before the ads, when you were saying, Ben, that the private sector can actually learn things from the public sector. And I have to say that, you know, somebody who has operated in both, I certainly witnessed an awful lot of innovation, entrepreneurship within public sector organisations. I mentioned that Sir Howard Bernstein, for example, is coming along to our conference on the 14th of November. Now, I can't think of a better example of a civic entrepreneur than Howard. But there are great examples, aren't there, where the public sector have led the way in so many policy areas that the private sector can actually not only benefit from, but learn from.
I absolutely agree. And you know, there are lots of fantastic people working in our public sector, and given the shape of our economy here, then you know it stands to reason. You know, we're entrepreneurs in the city, as John's described, and that doesn't necessarily recognise, you know, the barriers between what's public or what's private or what's in the voluntary or charity sector. And the real trick for us is to come together on those things. And it's been really interesting working in both sectors, working for a lot of years in and around the NHS and local authorities. And hearing a lot over the last 5 years about how important it is that public sector learns from the private. And we did learn a load of really good stuff that helps improve how we worked. But I think it's only more recently when we have realised that that kind of innovation that happens in the public sector, in health, in education, in local authorities, you know, really, really can help inform how we think in the private sector as well. And for a business like ours at Kenyon Fraser, that's something that we've really started to shape our business and our ethics around. We do a lot of work which is for public sector organisations, for the voluntary sector, and is funded by those monies. And we take that responsibility really serious. We've got to be successful. We're outcomes focused. It's value for public money, and that's really important that we use our skills and expertise to help our public sector partners to achieve what they need to do, and that's really important to us. Mm. At the same time, we, you know, half of our business is in the private sector as well. It's commercial, and our responsibility is to generate wealth and to support those entrepreneurs and those new businesses and those SMEs and all those sectors and some very large corporates that we work with as well is as important. So generating wealth at the same time as working across sectors is something I think is really vital. And as we were chatting about before the break, I think that's one of the things that in our that is sort of representative of our maturity and our thinking and around this report, that I think, you know, those of us sitting here and lots of people that we're networked to and that we're talking with are really recognising that and getting behind it.
Mm. And Elaine, somebody who's worked in the public sector, I'm sure that you recognise that there's some great initiatives come out, some great innovation. Do you think that, you know, the public sector in Liverpool is up for the challenges that it faces now, because we are in an entirely different climate? I don't think we've ever seen the public sector face these sort of cuts, certainly not for 25, 30 years now. Are Liverpool capable of actually coping with those cuts and coming through this challenge maybe a little bit more healthier as far as the local economy is concerned?
Absolutely. I think we've got some fantastically talented people in this city with an entrepreneurial spirit, and that's what's going to get us out of this. I've worked in both the private and the public sector, and I think it's a different, slightly different skill set, but actually you need to be very skilled to work in both. In the private sector it's much more hard-nosed. I think it also moves much more quickly. But it's a single focus, And in some ways that can make it easier. It's still difficult, but it can make it easier. I think working in the public sector, you've got to think about many different things. It's often more complex, and I think if you can work through that complexity and achieve really good outcomes at the right pace, then I think that takes some skill. And pace is the issue, I think, that the public sector is going to really have to take up now, is the big delivery. And if you look at this city, it's the rebalancing of the economy. That doesn't mean to say public sector bad, private sector good. We need a good, strong, healthy public sector. But the only way that this city is going to really generate growth and jobs is by driving more private sector, increasing business density. And that is the key to it. And I do think that the City Council in particular are really serious around how do we use the private sector to ensure that we deliver a city full of ambition with good opportunities at the end of it.
Mm. And John, you were saying that you've been doing some work with people who've come out of the public sector. What sort of skills set have they got? What are the sort of challenges that they're struggling with? Do you see within those people that you're meeting with entrepreneurial spirit, talent, the ability to actually go out there and set their own businesses up?
Certainly do, Frank. I just believe people in the public sector who have been successful, they're called entrepreneurs. They've had to work hard, they've had to be focused, they've had to reskill all the time. And entrepreneurs, you know, they're the private sector, they've got to absolutely, they get paid on results. If they stay in bed all day, okay, nobody gives a damn because they just don't get paid. But what I'm seeing now, Frank, with the public sector and the private sector joining together on Merseyside, and they know this is the future, I just believe they're all joining the skills, they're learning from each other. In our academy, Frank, I've been really impressed with some of the private sector people realising their day is gone now in the private sector. It's finished, it's all over. They're not moaning and not complaining, and they say it's not where you're coming from, all that's mattered is where we're going. We want to be entrepreneurs, and they're open-minded, Frank. And I just believe entrepreneurs now and entrepreneurs have got to become guerrilla fighters. And a guerrilla fighter, you don't need a manager behind you or a government official. You just get out there and you learn the skills and you work damn hard. And I think this city is now starting to come together for once. The private sector and the public sector getting together, and we're going to drive it through. And I think it's an exciting time for us all.
Well, I've got Joe Anderson in the studio with me next week, the leader of Liverpool City Council. If any of you wish to put a particular point or question to Joe, do contact me via the Downtown Liverpool website, or alternatively through my Twitter account, which is @DowntownFrank. Joe will be here for the whole hour next Sunday answering a number of points that I want to put to him, but anything that you feel would be relevant, business issues is what we want to be discussing, please do get in touch. One of the things I will be asking Joe about is his view of the final suggestion that I'm going to talk about from the Heseltine-Leahy report, which is an elected mayor for Liverpool or for Liverpool City Region. Ben, where do you stand on that particular thorny issue? It's fairly controversial, and I will not allow any Liberal Democrat like sitting on the fence. I want a yes or a no. Good idea, and why?
What's the question?
Is it a good idea to have an elected mayor for Liverpool,
or indeed the City Region?
I'm gonna sit on the fence.
Oh,
and you're not gonna stop me.
Not allowed.
You're not gonna stop me. One thing is I try and avoid doing is giving a strong opinion where I'm not informed to do so, and on this one I'm taking the fifth. You know, I must say I'm sympathetic towards the idea. I like the idea of strong leadership, and I see the benefit of having an individual character to get behind. It's you know, we can all look at how that's worked for London with Ken and Boris, and it'd be interesting to see where that goes next. I haven't made my mind up in you know, one side or the other for us here. I think it's an interesting idea. Couldn't call it.
Come on, Elaine. Let's see if we can get a straight answer out of you.
Well, it's a yes from me. although I don't think it's all about structures. Why is it a yes? I think it's a yes because cities drive growth, and this city needs more flexibility. The city needs powers that are devolved to it so it can make its own decisions about how it drives economic growth, which in turn will drive jobs. So I think government in return wants something back, and that something back is governance and accountability. So I don't think it's primarily about the structure, but I think if we want accountability, if we want flexibility, if we want powers locally, we've got to give something back in return, back to government.
Do you think it is actually about powers? Because it's no good just giving the badge, is it? It's no good just saying to Joe Anderson, well, you've got exactly the same powers as you've got now, but actually, you know, we're just going to change your title from city leader to city mayor. If you take the London example, the Boris Johnson, the Ken Livingstone, they have that strategic power and responsibility over transport, police, economic development, skills. And that's where we need to be, isn't it, really?
That's what I mean. You know, I think that's where you get the real drive when you're making your decisions locally around the key issues that affect the city and therefore affect the city's growth.
John?
100% yes, Frank. I think the city's moving forward. We've got to come out of our comfort zone, and I just think an elected mayor with inspirational vision for the future and with the skills and knowledge to get the city rallying round, I think it's the only way, Frank. All the other top cities around the world are doing it, and I remember, Frank, and we all remember when it was Steve Rotherham, the Capital Culture Lord Mayor. Okay, he wasn't elected Lord Mayor, but for once we had a Lord Mayor who brought the city together, and it was just an incredible feeling that year. There was a leader who was bringing us together with the one thing in mind, Liverpool and Merseyside, and it was just awesome. So, Frank, 200% yes from the International Coaching Academy.
Well, there you go, and I'm a yes as well. Downtown Liverpool have been campaigning for an elected mayor since 2003, so I'm not going to change my mind now. And I've spoken with Heseltine about this on more than one occasion, and I think, you know, the point he always makes around this issue is not just about the powers and responsibilities, which are important, but in terms of image and in terms of recognition. And again, Ben, this is where I thought you might have absolutely been in favour of elected mayors. Then it's instantaneous. You know, people know who Boris is, they know who Livingstone is because of that title. If you go up to the northeast, they know who RoboCop is because of the elected mayor in Middlesbrough. You go to Scotland and you've got Alex Salmond as the First Minister. And cities like Liverpool, I think, are actually in need of that sort of leadership. And I think the other thing it'll do, actually, once and for all, is it will sort out this nonsense about what the lead attack brand is for what we call Merseyside. It should be called actually Greater Liverpool or Liverpool City Region. And if we had a city mayor or a city region mayor, then I think the clarity would absolutely be there. So it's a yes from downtown Liverpool. It's three yeses and one don't know. We've sort of formed a bit of a coalition, I suppose, with no opposition, which it seems like sometimes within the House of Commons. But we're getting very political here. It's becoming almost like the Larry Neal show. For the last couple of minutes, I'll move back to business, back to the economy. Euro bailout announced on Wednesday. Basically, it seems to me that what's happened is, if, you know, at the moment I owe millions of pounds to the bank, they come along to me and say, well, we're going to write 50% of that off. That's what's happened with Greece. And it looks as though there's going to be trillions poured in to secure the euro. It seems that most economists and markets have welcomed the proposal. Ben, I know you're not an economist, you're not an expert on this, but the euro's got to work, hasn't it? Otherwise, we all fail.
It has. And, you know, sticking with my line on not offering pronouncements on things I'm not qualified to do, this is certainly one of them.
But people do that all the time. Now, I can't understand why you're not.
I've not gone into politics yet. But, you know, clearly the bottom line is the European economy collapsing. Can't quite imagine how that's going to be in anyone's interests at all. You know, very, very complex, and a lot of debate, and a very valid debate at the moment about all the bailouts that have happened with the bankers. We're now bailing out countries so that the system doesn't collapse. There's a lot of discussion around growth, both in our earlier discussions and to encapsulate this. And I think one of the interesting questions in the longer term is going to be around growth and what that means and what our aspirations are as a society in terms of growth and quality of life and how we judge our success as individuals and as communities. And if you look at that in terms of peak oil, you look at that globally, it's going to be interesting to see where that debate goes over the next 2 or 3 years.
Absolutely.
You look at the emerging Occupy protest, that there's a big debate there and to be had, and at this stage I think we've got to do what we've got to do, but we've got to carry on debating it as well, because it's just taking it as read that's the only answer, I think, is going to, you know, potentially lead us down another blind alley.
And I'll tell you this, in or out of Europe, we will be affected by it, so we should be all hoping that the deal that was done this week is successful. Well, that's it from me, Frank McKenna, and City Talks Business for another week. I'm back with Joe Anderson next week, don't forget that. Thanks to my guests this week, thanks to my producer Jonathan Dean. Most of all, thank you for listening. Have a great week, and don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Downtown Liverpool in business with Frank McKenna. City Talk 105.9. Listen and log on to great music and great conversation on City Talk 105.9.